being right at lunch.
Before lunch. You're the only thing stopping before lunch. Oh.
Have a seat at the big board table there.
No, that's good enough.
What about any of these little deals?
We're all good.
All right.
We were just talking about tire rent and letters of endorsement. I was looking for a form letter. I guess I misunderstood. I thought you were going to give us a form letter that I could go get signatures, and yes. I didn't get that.
I'm right out of your seat, sir.
Seat, huh?
So,
were you here watching?
That, I mean, that's what we were talking about. He was wanting to get signatures, and we're all for it, but I was looking for a form letter myself.
That's the form letter that's being circulated by.
Is that your guys' form letter?
No.
I've seen that one, yeah. But
yeah, what we prepared a cover letter that just kind of discussed the program.
Uh-huh.
And then some talking points.
Okay.
Along with this mailing list. And during that conversation, Frank had mentioned that he had already received a form letter from Rick Filcher, not Rick Filcher, Ziggy's, and was going to use that as the form letter.
Okay.
So that was the
I just need a letter so I can go get some signatures and you can get some signatures, and we just need to compare on who we haven't got signatures from.
I'll provide Frank with
something.
Yeah, the cover letter I've talked about and that talking points. And then we also provided him with a list of potential contacts.
Okay. That's all we've got regarding that then. If you can get that up to us, and we'll double check to make sure. Are you guys getting letters of endorsement?
No.
You're not focusing. It's our responsibility to focus on that.
Yeah.
And we're just posting them on the website anyway, right?
Yes.
Okay. Or you're yes. going to post
yeah.
it on the website?
Yeah, we're not going to include them yet.
And that 25 pages?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Shifting gears then.
Coon Creek?
Yeah.
All right. Let me kind of give you an update. Well, let me go back and kind of tell you where we were the last time we met, which was on August the 3rd. We had the Highway BB plans completed, and we were going to meet with MoDOT that afternoon to review the BB plans and also look at the 76 concept plans. We did that. And we received their comments. Well, we met with them. We got our first draft of comments from them on the 17th and incorporated their comments on the 25th of August. We met with Frank on August the 27th to review the plans, which included a full set of documents for 76 BB and the rework on Coon Creek. Probably spent the majority of the time talking about the work that was necessary on Coon Creek as far as addressing the super elevation issue, as far as the banking being adverse to what it should be.
Right.
And it was more significant than I think than any of us realized. As you drive the road, you notice it, but it doesn't seem excessive. But when you start putting numbers to it, there are locations that need 18 to 24 inches of roadway to be built because you're taking it from this trying to do that with it, so it gets fairly thick. So we identified certain portions of that road that would really be more suitable for reconstruction rather than just wedging with 24 inches of asphalt. No sense in paying $50 a ton or $52 a ton for asphalt when you can do it for less money with dirt and gravel to help build that section up. So that was probably where we spent most of our discussion at that meeting. That was last Thursday. On Friday, we met with the contractor, and it was the same contractor that we used for Casey Road. We had recent experience, and he understood construction in this area and what the needs of Taney County would be. And talking with him, we wanted to look at construction timeline and opportunities to accelerate that construction. Some of the comments that we got back from him were traffic control is a big issue. Being able to close that road for the period of construction intersections and or Coon Creek would definitely accelerate construction because it would be less conflict. That closure would be to through traffic, but we would still allow local traffic, people that live in there, we'd make sure that we provided access to them. The other thing that we talked about was some ideas on TB, how we could minimize that project. And we incorporated those into the plans, and they were completed on Monday. the comments to incorporate his comments related to that. We also have been working with the city of Hollister in regards to a waterline conflict and the waterline relocation associated with the BB project is a component of the construction plans. And looking at our timeline, because time is critical, we understand the December 15th date that we're all trying to hit. We contacted the Branson Tri-Lex newspaper. They can have it in the paper on Saturday, which will be September the 15th. We would be able to open bids to And we would be able to open bids on September the 18th. Okay. It would be a 2-week bidding window. We discussed that with the contractor that we did the constructability review with. He said that should be adequate time to do that. He anticipated that the total time to complete the project would be about 3 months. And if we looked that out for each portion of the project, 1 month for the 76 intersection, 1 month for the BB intersection, and then 1 month for the
Pinkham Creek.
That's tight. Yes. So when we
take... Because it's in December. Okay, go ahead.
When we look at the estimated construction cost for the entire project, both intersections in Kim Creek, we're right at $1 million.
What we thought was 750?
750.
Okay.
The things that are remaining to be completed are right-of-way acquisition, and I don't know what the consensus was with BB, but that plays into the timing. If MoDOT has that road or if the county's looking at taking that road.
We won't take it over by then.
Okay.
I mean, you're talking about if we own BB?
Yes.
Yeah, we won't own it by then. There's no way.
Well, that was part of the comments. When we were dealing with MoDOT staff for review of the construction plans, they were basically saying if the county's going to take it over, then you can loosen some of the criteria that they're going to require.
Well, we're in negotiation, but we just got their list today. I mean, the meeting before you was the first time we've seen the list.
Okay. So we're a ways from that.
Months.
Okay. And I don't think that's going to be a problem with how we've developed the plans.
Help me understand. Do you have MoDOT's approval then on everything?
No. We've got...
Even advertise for bids?
No, we can advertise for bids. But we'll have to... If we want to accelerate the timeline, we will bid it and we will submit it to MoDOT for final review.
I'm making sure I thought we were waiting on MoDOT a couple weeks ago.
We are, and
we were still waiting.
In our initial meeting with MoDOT, I made a special request that they look at this. I said this is a special request. I said to them, you probably have your typical ways of doing a plan check review, and it goes from this department, from traffic to design to right away to whomever. And I was wondering if we could almost hand walk this through their process. And they almost laughed at me and said, it's going to take 2, 3, or 4 weeks, we're not sure. So we have initial comments, they've made some modifications to the plan based on those initial comments, and I feel that the comments or things that are left unresolved are very minor in nature, and
will they cause a large change order if we bid it out? I mean, the question is, you're trying to bid it out before we got the approval. And so if they make another change, the change order will have to take place to the contractor. Are those changes going to cost a lot more money?
Our objective would be to have the comments back from MoDOT before we open bids. So that we would make sure that the contractor incorporated into his price any of the expectations that MoDOT had for the project that were different than the plans.
How do you go out for bid and then...
Change the rules.
There'd be an addendum to the original bid that stated what the changes were, so that in time they'd have the opportunity to look at that addendum and make their adjustments prior to their actual bid.
Okay, let me ask you a question about the deadlines we're talking. These estimates you're talking about construction wise. What's the current estimate of them starting construction on the bridge bluff? Isn't it December 15th?
To start knocking the bluff down.
Okay. So December 10th, there's going to be probably an impact to some traffic. There'll be some cones up or something. Okay. The 30 days of this, 30 days of this, that is with no acceleration of help, correct?
Correct.
If we did some acceleration, what would that, how much time would we gain? Because that's part of the stuff we've got to put in the bid.
We've discussed.
If it's night work after hour, if it's whatever.
We've discussed several things in particular, how do we accelerate this, or how do we keep the contractor on site versus what happened out here on 160, where there were plenty of good construction days and there was nobody on site, that this would be the contractor's primary focus and job from the start time to the end. We've talked about night work. We've talked about closing Coon Creek completely to everything except for local traffic. We've also talked about turning this, still going to one bidder, but changing this job into three separate components of the overall job, and in ranking those components. In my ranking, or I think as a group, we decided that in order of priority, the components would be number one, the intersection at 76 and Coon Creek, being the number one priority. Second component of priority would be the intersection at BB and Coon Creek. And then the third component, which is the overlay, which is a significant amount of cost, would be the third component. If time becomes an element, which I'm fearful now, nobody can control the weather.
We've lost all our buffer time.
Right. So one of the proposals that's on the table to talk about is the fact that the third component, the overlay of the, I drove it yesterday with the eye of looking at its current condition. It's not potholed everywhere. It does have some cracks. It is ready for an overlay. Is it serviceable for some time in the future? It is. The things that are not favorable to the current configuration or layout of Coon Creek is what we were talking about. When you're at the speed that it's posted at, which is
35,
there are certain corners where the corner wants to.
And we're going to have so much more traffic on that road.
So we've talked about doing some additional things in the way of safety, and that would be a fresh striping job on the entire road, including an edge line some of the critical.
You're talking about instead of overlay, instead of fixing.
Yes, and now I'm sort of eliminating the overlay and talking about
and
safety.
Fixing the elevations.
And fixing those. I'm eliminating that completely. Just talking about doing the two intersections.
And street striping now.
Restriping, adding chevrons at corners that don't have chevrons currently. Edge lines currently don't exist. And on every single portion of guardrail, there's a reflective delineator, which isn't the orange chevron sign. It's just a bright white delineator that shows you at night that there is a corner here.
Could we not just bid them all out individually?
Well, the concern there is coordination between contractors.
Okay, could we not do it? The intersections have to go to different contractors, and the overlay can go one to the other. It's the overlay guy, and if they're doing one of the intersections, I don't know why we couldn't do BB and the overlay one project, and Coon Creek and BB intersections, and the overlay is one, and then the 76 and Coon Creek is the other one, because that's going to be a pretty complicated intersection. There's a lot of work on that intersection. Mm-hmm. And to say you're going to get that done in 30 days is, I don't think, realistic.
On BB?
BB and 76, yeah.
But the one thing is with 76 is that since we're building it offline for the new intersection, and then even our lane addition is off the existing pavement.
But aren't you adding a lane? Well, I guess you're adding a lane on the outside, yeah. Then we're a little strip.
Yeah. So we're building that on one edge of the road, and we're building the intersection on a new alignment. The tie-ins are the points wherever, you know, you have the most conflict. And then the thing with BB, BB won't be impacted too bad. It's Coon Creek because we're building that ramp up and creating a better landing where Coon Creek and BB come together. That's where we have the biggest impact to traffic.
How about performance contracting or something like that where we've got a deadline? Is that possible? Have we done that before?
We've talked about this not really from a performance, but from a deadline perspective, that there would be liquidated damages if they don't meet a particular deadline.
Yes, that's the way I'm talking about liquidated damages.
The other thing that we talked about, one thing that's fairly common in the building construction, is for the contractor to give his price and give a date when he's going to have it finished.
Right.
That's not typical in road construction, but that was something that we had discussed as an opportunity.
Because
then you can pick on price and completion date. You weren't just held to one or the other.
Well, I know that there was when that interstate bridge got collapsed in Oklahoma with that one ferry, you know, when that one boat, it's incident, the contractor had a bonus, X amount of days, there were bonuses before and then penalties after.
An incentive, descendant.
Right.
You could do that.
They did that after the Northridge earthquake in Southern California, and he made almost more money on bonuses than the contractor.
The guy did the bridge over in Oklahoma, he made more on that than he did on the profit on the bridge itself. So,
no, but that's something, too, we could incorporate.
So, to me, points of discussion are the three components of the overall project. Do we do all of them? Do we do them, like you're saying, with separate contractors? A really large component at this point in time is right-of-way acquisition. There has been some discussions with the lady at 76 and Coon Creek. She has some requests that are pretty outlandish. She was requesting a wrought iron fence around her entire property that comes to about $30,000, I believe. We have recently, through the help of Greg River Engineering, talked to a real estate person that has done some studying of real estate costs that would be equivalent to the area of that is in question. Those costs come out to $1.81 per square foot based on recent sales in the area. So, say on the Barth property yesterday, I think we came up with, was it $13,000?
I think it was $9,000. It was $9,000. $8,000 for the right of way and $1,000 for the temporary construction.
Yeah. Okay. Overall, I think if we use the formula, the real estate formula, I think our right of way acquisition costs were about $30,000 total.
And that goes back to the question that you had asked us, what's the local market? So what we did is we contacted an appraiser, and not asking for an appraisal, but just what was the market value, what was property selling for, and they gave some examples of some property in that vicinity.
How fast could they redo Coon Creek? If the intersections got done, how fast could they do Coon Creek if it was closed?
Tough question to answer.
While you're thinking, the two intersections in Coon Creek, $1 million. How's that going to get?
It's cost budget. 76 is looking like $350,000. BB is $250,000, and then Coon Creek's the remaining $425,000.
Is that with the bridge?
No.
Is that with it?
Nothing. Just matching what's there.
Could we create some shoulders without overlaying the Coon Creek?
The problem that we have there is that where we would want to do that, I mean, the world kind of disappears
right
over the side of that hill.
So it's not possible?
It's very difficult.
Maybe we need to consider that we don't do Coon Creek.
The whole project? Or just the overlay?
Well, or limited, like Frank was talking about, limited.
My only concern is, it's just the volume of traffic is going to increase.
We had, going back to BB project, I don't know what the traffic was on that, but it was big. Pretty more than Coon Creek. All traffic was going to be. It was a short period of time compared to what we're talking about.
We're in about a year at least.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, if
there's no way to do okay, let's. I think the intersections. My opinion is the intersections need to be done no matter what.
Yeah.
And I think that's based off how we're doing it. There's nominal impact, but that would be an improvement of safety there. Especially the 76. I think the 76 intersection.
I think the 76 is number one.
I do too.
We had to drop the road, and even BB, I mean, traffic's going slow there.
Well, BB is just stacking. I think it's going to get a big congestion there. Is there no way to improve the road of Coon Creek then? I mean, my concern is Coon Creek seems to be a little bit of this, and there's reverse turns, and then it's just there's no shoulders. There's no forgiveness on the edges.
And that's what makes that job difficult, because after doing the survey out in the field, the findings were that it's worse
than we thought.
Okay. I'm looking at the other side of the road to make up the balance on the Hill Pride side of the bluff that had been taken off before. Where the mistake was made was not taking enough bluff off of the left-hand side going this direction. At that point, they said take whatever you need and cost you down. Well, things may have changed now, but I know that it hadn't changed for Vernon Christian, who owns part of that, who wanted the bridge put in, and he said, take, you have my property as useless to me on the right-hand side of the road, and put the bridge in and straighten that curve out. So, but my main concern is the E-76 McKinnon Creek deal. There's no way the semi going to White River Electric or any other place else to make that turn without that project being started. And then the VB side is the stack of traffic.
Yeah.
Especially early in the morning with school bus
The intersections need to be improved.
So those two things we need to concentrate on. Then we can get by with the other parts number one stages. I mean, the roundabout of the bridge, the bridge part, all that is going to go in stages. They may have open stages where they may go 2 or 3 months to where we have limited shutdowns in traffic. I mean, I'm talking about less than other parts. When they first do that, I'm looking for 30-minute delays and traffic backed up to Coon Creek.
Yeah.
I think the first of it's going to be the worst of it because they have nowhere to work.
Yeah. They had to create the space first.
They talked about it last Partners in Progress meeting. They gave an update on it and the status of that construction job and sort of what the phasing would be like. And correct me if I'm wrong, they started with the roundabout area on the bluff and taking that off. But as they got into the winter, further into the winter months, they were going to start working on the pier structures in pier and dredging in the lake itself, so that wouldn't, at that point in time, there wouldn't be any impact on traffic at all.
Well, I guess what we're saying, though, if we don't do Coon Creek now, we're just not going to touch it for another year. Because it'll be hit and miss. The road itself will be hit and miss, and with the volume of traffic. Now, I know what you're saying. There'll be peaks and valleys of work on the others on the bridge. So, the road's in fine shape. It's good for a year, isn't it?
What about writing the contract in such a way that we possibly throw an incentive in there? Somehow or another, we have to have a drop-dead deadline.
Well, I think we did the intersection. If we did the intersection separately, and give them, then they have to give us a deadline date, part of their bid, then we can decide who gets what. I mean, there's no reason that they can't be two different contractors working at the same time. And this project's done in 45 days. It's the road is going to be the issue, and we could bid out the road and just not accept any bids.
Well, and let me throw out another alternative on that. I mean, rather than, because what we've done is taken it from this to this. What if we don't get all the way to here? What if we get it, you know, just to, even if it's more level, I mean, get it to where it drains, but get it to more level. And what if we use the county's asphalt bid that you already have in place? Look at how much material that would be. And
we do it?
Improve.
We would just hire Journeyman as our app.
Yeah, but we would do the improvement on the subgrade.
Yeah, you have a laid in place price that's already been.
You just do it with asphalt, you're saying?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Rather than try to build it up with 24 inches of asphalt,
build it up with 12 inches of asphalt?
And it won't
just have Journeyman fix it with asphalt?
It won't be like this, it'll be like this.
And that's an extreme case.
Sure.
There's really like one major area that has that kind of depth that we're talking about. So that is an extreme case.
But then you can give them a notice to proceed.
right away.
As soon as we knew.
And not concentrate on that.
And not bid out the road at all, you're saying?
Don't bid out the road, but just concentrate.
Let's just do the intersection separately. And make them give us a drop-dead date and their bid.
Okay, and then the other thing I would throw out there for your consideration is we can bid it as one contractor doing both in that time frame, or two contractors to seek better price, but to still sink the same time commitment.
So, yeah, I don't care if the same contractor wants to bid them both, but he has to give us the time no matter what. So, I mean, they can.
You have the flexibility of having two.
Well, I want to be able to pull them apart if the deadlines are both December 1st and it's one contractor. You know, I don't have warm and fuzzies that they'll make it with two intersections. Is that right? Chuck, Danny, what are you thinking? Separate contracts on the two intersections and forget the road.
Yeah.
And you're good with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Could you bid it both ways? Would there be a response both ways?
Yeah, because there's, I tell you what, they're going to try to bid it to get both.
Well, of course. Now, if they want to bundle them, they...
Right. Yeah, we'll have a bundle price and a separate price.
Sure.
And if we can give it to one guy, that's great. If we end up giving it to two...
I'm just looking at the deadlines. Now, are we going to have a penalty if they don't make it?
Probably set it like $2,000 per day, per calendar day.
Okay. It eliminates
these hypothetical dates, yeah.
In case you wrote a project where they don't show up on days that they could have been working, it eliminates that.
Yeah. And it's on that day they start.
Now, do we have a drop dead date? If they can't even meet a certain day, we're not taking bids? Or we care? Suppose they all come back at December 31st.
Well, we're going to tell them December 15th.
Is minimum?
Yep. That's the
latest.
Yeah. Okay. Are we doing an incentive?
What?
Are we doing an incentive if they get it done quickly?
Do you want to give them a bonus if they can?
I don't know that we need to.
I think they'll make it with the timelines without the road now.
There's still plenty of contractors for work out there, isn't
it? Yes.
And I, you know, I've got a lot more faith in our own road bridge department than others do whenever we see if we want to move in there and there's a certain section that's causing us a big problem. You guys designate that section. We shut that road down for a week in a period of time. All that's going to do is make people appreciate it that much more whenever they have to go around and pull it apart. We'd shut it down for 2 weeks if we had good weather and do a lot of work with a lot of equipment.
And we are okay with closing it to through traffic and only leaving it open to local traffic.
I'm talking about October, November.
With all,
okay. We good?
The only remaining issue is the right-of-way issue as far as getting the right-of-way documents from the property.
Right, and that one is where you're having your main problem there, the first there on 76, the lake.
Yeah. I think she's the most impacted, for sure.
Right. I need to stop and talk to her.
And Dave and Randy have met with her several times on site. We even staked it out.
Of what the impact would be.
Is there something we need to do, or
what would you like us to do?
I think I need to talk to her.
Okay.
I'm just.
You know her?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to use the Joe projects. She knows Joe. She's known him all his life. He almost got killed in that intersection. I mean, here 18 months ago. So I'm going to use that incentive to save lives, get this intersection done.
Okay. And I do have one more thing. We're working with the Branson School District on a tornado shelter. It's a grant application through FEMA.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of the, since Missouri has so many counties that were declared disaster areas, there's a pot of money that they're available to go after and pursue some FEMA tornado shelter money. We're working on the application. It's going to be about a $2 million facility. FEMA will pay 75% of it, and then the school district will pick up the remaining half. It's my understanding that they will have to have a letter of support or a letter of acknowledgement from the county commission. So we'd like to get on your agenda to
Do we have a sample letter you'd like, can you supply a letter to us?
Yes.
You supply a letter to us, we'll vote on it.
Yeah.
Here because,
right. So I'll get it on the agenda for tomorrow. Is that okay? Because the applications are due Friday.
We can do it by the phone, I mean, via phone. Like, I'm not going to be here, but I can vote on the phone. But
well, yeah, or Monday morning maybe.
Well, it's too late. He has to have
Friday.
Yeah, and here's what the deal is that there were several projects that they thought were going to get funded that fell through, mm-hmm. which opened up this pot of money, and then it was kind of the last minute. I think we found out on Monday.
I wish you wouldn't have known that when we got down one over Marion Woods.
Yeah.
We're looking for a tornado shelter over Marion Woods.
And that's another question I had, Spencer, was the fact that the walk-through facility for the Branson schools is, do they have a place? Do they have a secure spot? Is it every tornado shelter, it would save lives?
It's worth it.
It's worth it. But if they had locations where they could put children and everything, Marion Woods, which is defenseless.
Oh,
you know.
And here's what I'm tell you is that this is just the first round of funding. There looks to be another round of applications around December, January.
Then we need to start, if you would put it on your, we need to start working on it. If we need to come up with a design, does Brent's already had a design then?
No, they're not required at this time. It's just a letter of intents and applications.
Can we do one?
Well, I don't think we can get that one put together back with that short of time, but. For Marion Woods, but there will be another round of funding that definitely we can put it in.
Okay, yeah, if you can get something, a letter to us, to the girls, and we'll get it posted for a call in tomorrow at noon or something. Okay, very good.
Thank you.
How are you on the Round Mountain Bridge here?
Good. Well, you should have that application completed later today in final draft form. I'll review that, make sure it's complete, and we'll be ready to submit that.
For the applications,
mm-hmm.
CDBGU.
Okay. Yeah. There's no way you could boilerplate this tornado shelter.
It's a different application.
It's not the CBG.
No, it's the FEMA.
All right.
All right then. Recess.
There we go.
Woo. What we was all like back when we were in school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right out screaming.
That's where we got our most education.
Unfortunately, that's kind of excuse my parents hated.
Special thank you.